Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormones Podcast. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, and I'm so excited to be back. This is actually the longest break I've had from recording podcasts. I don't think I've ever taken, the last one was 10th of Jan, I think it came out. So what's that, 8 weeks? What are we now, the 11th of March? So yeah, it's actually been quite a little stint off for me, which has been nice, but I have missed it because I do love having guests lined up to chat to and meet new people and get, I guess, different insights on health topics. So whether it's gut health or hormones or stress or fatigue or something I'm really nailing down on this year is helping busy business women, so those who are working like myself, juggle the gut health side of things and I guess the brain fog fatigue and showing up as your best self sort of for work or for career or for your clients or coaching or whatever it is that you do, because that is something that I really struggled with when I was going through my gut health journey. And as much as I love supporting women with children and as full-time as mums, and I totally respect what they do as well, for me firsthand, obviously I don't have kids and I'm not a mother, so sometimes the way I work and approach things is more geared towards women who are working and juggling bits and pieces as well. So I think that's going to be an exciting thing for me this year, is to be able to support those women who are working so much and going, gee, I just don't have the time, like I'm not cooking meals at home because I'm out the door early to exercise and then I'm at work and then I come home late, and then also having that brain fog and fatigue and being like, how do I show up as my best self at work if I'm struggling to even focus or concentrate, or I'm bloated and constipated so you feel uncomfortable at your desk and you're trying to concentrate on your task and your stomach hurts. Like the very, very, very relatable things for me, because I went through that for so many years, especially when I was studying, I noticed that at uni and stuff, like having a really sore stomach and the brain fog and fatigue and trying to be able to concentrate and get tasks done was tricky. But also when I was lecturing full time as well, so I taught Cert 3 and 4 in fitness and Cert 4 in nutrition for a while for a couple of different RTOs, so registered training organizations, and I found it really tricky to sit at a desk and work when I was struggling so much with my gut health, because if I was constipated and like just that uncomfortable feeling in your stomach, I actually found it really, really hard to concentrate and get your jobs done, because all you think about is this low-grade pain in your stomach. So that's going to be fun this year to kind of pull apart some content ideas and be like, cool, how can I help these guys with that better? Because I know that was a big struggle for me. But also super exciting news is that it's my birthday tomorrow. So 12th of March, I will be 30. Yay. I'm actually pretty excited. 29 has been my best year alive by far. Definitely, like the things that have happened to me, with me, for me, against me, I don't know, by me this year have been really, really incredible. And I think because I got so sick at 18 and I spent really from 18 to my mid-20s almost, probably to like 27, like 28, there was a real big shift in my health, and I really, like I already had answers, but the last things take longer than what you think. So people kind of think that once they start working on their gut health in a couple months, they'll all be sorted and all their issues will be done. And even though you may not be bloated and constipated day to day anymore, other things might arise or come up. Like sometimes, you know, you work through one health concern and then you might notice your hair loss or fatigue might come back, or you might struggle with your weight, or there'll be like different bits and pieces. So for me, there was a solid 7, 8, 9 year struggle simply because I didn't know about functional testing. So I didn't have any foundation to work off. I was just guessing for so long and seeing so many medical practitioners and obviously not getting answers. So that was really, really frustrating. Then once I sort of got those answers, that was mid to early 20s, finished my sports science degree, started my master's of nutrition, and then did functional diagnostic nutrition. So yeah, I want to say like mid 20s. Then I sort of had solid answers to work with, but then there wasn't practitioners who could help me with it specifically as well, because I didn't know very many people in the field and it was kind of still a nuanced area. That was, I mean, what's that, 5, 6, 7 years ago? So it took quite a lot of trial and error with parasites and small intestinal bacteria overgrowth and candida and all that kind of stuff to work out what was going on with my gut. And then more like mid to late 20s, so sort of 26, 27, 28, I sort of had more answers, but then I was struggling with fatigue and burnout because I was starting a small business and all the pressure and the self-imposed pressure and stuff that comes with that. And the other thing which I've really focused on in the last year has been nervous system work and working, I guess, on self-regulation and interestingly and notingly how that impacts my gut health and my hormones as well. So that's kind of been the last year, which is something I'm very passionate about now with women, is doing the nervous system work and working on stress reduction, those sides of things. Whereas when I first started my clinic and my practice, it's very much like protocols and treatments for parasites, gut health, hormones, which is great and awesome, but that external stuff wasn't addressed as much as I address it now. So that's been really interesting, and just watching the progression, I guess, of my business and the clients I work with and seeing them respond really well to doing stress reduction stuff and nervous system work, especially when it comes to acne. So acne is something I've always struggled with just because I am a very A-type person. So I struggle with androgen dominant style PCOS. So higher androgens, high testosterone, high DHEA, which is coming from that stress component, which is going to drive sort of up sebum production and make me prone to acne and skin infections. So that's just a total side tangent of where I was going with this. But I'm 30 tomorrow. Anyway, so that's the exciting thing, is that I've learned heaps this year. So 29, coming back a full circle, 29's been my best year alive because my health has been the best it's ever been. I've had an amazing overseas travel trip to Canada and the States. And last year I went to Tasmania and Queensland. What else did I do last year? Interstate travel was a big one. And that was actually for a couple months in the middle of the year, now that I think about it. Oh, and I went to Japan last year. So that was the start of the year. That would have been February last year. And I was home for a couple months and away for a couple months. Home for 6 or so months, and then I've just been over to Canada and United States, and I loved it, and I've got lots of clients over there, so it's really nice for me to get a first-hand feel as to, A, I guess the access to foods and things has been a big one, just because I didn't realize how different shopping, cooking, living and stuff was over there, so that gives me a lot of insight into treatment plans and protocols for my Canadian and American or United States clients as well. So that's been really interesting. And then, yeah, just I guess setting down roots with my business and where I'm living has been a big one as well. Buying land, and I'm going to start building a house this year. So that's going to be really exciting. And I guess for me, without getting into it too much and making myself too emotional, but to have achieved all that before 30 has been a really big thing, because when I was really sick in my early 20s, I genuinely did not think I would make it to 30, and not because what I had was so, what's the word, so like debilitating that I was like, I'm going to die, but more so that I had no answers for so long that I was like, I can't live like this. Like, this is simply not living. This sucks. Like, this actually, my life really sucks. And I'm still really blessed, and I understand I'm in a very privileged position in life, in the sense that I had opportunities to go to university, and I've worked really, really hard to be where I am and to save my money to be able to buy land and those kinds of things. Like, I'm very cautious with how I live my life. But on the same token, I wasn't enjoying life. It wasn't fun. And not in the fact that life always has to be fun, but in the fact that there should be simple pleasures in life from time to time. And when you're so unwell day to day and you're waking up with stomach pain, you're going to bed with stomach pain, you're constantly bloated. I was really underweight. I couldn't eat properly. I could exercise for a bit and then I couldn't for ages because I just burned myself out. Like there's elements of that chronic fatigue running through it. There's just so many things that it just, and I was so highly stressed that it, yeah, I was like, this whole life thing isn't fun. I would be surprised if my body makes it to 30. And then to be here today and be like, look back and go, wow, so much has happened in the last 10 years. The person I am now is so different to where I was in my early 20s, but also I'm so proud of how far I've come and how much I've overcome to be where I am today, because I know in myself how hard I've worked for it, and I don't accept handouts, and I do definitely, if I want something, I will go for it 110%, but I've had to back myself every step of the way. And it's been the same with buying this house and doing land and doing all this stuff by myself has been really like huge and overwhelming, but also really exciting. So I think it's, yeah, just this week's going to be a bit reflective for me, but also knowing that, hey, 30 is just a number as well. So that in itself is not the big thing. It's more just birthdays make me reflect. They make me reach out to my loved ones. I love receiving cards in the mail from people I care about. And because I'm a words person, when we talk about love languages, mine's all words of affirmation, 110%. So I love receiving cards. I love hanging them around my house. It just means a lot to me. So yeah, big week. It's exciting. And then also seeing the Women in the Root Cause program just excelling lately, I guess, in the last couple of months. There's a lot of them who have overcome some really big challenges and seen huge shifts in their bloating, in their constipation, in their periods, in their approach to food, the way the women just take on the beef liver and the adrenal cocktail and the salt and everything. And are like, right, I'm all in, I'm doing this, I'm calming my immune response. I just love it. Like it just fills my cup. So today, what I want to talk about was the 4R approach to healing your gut. So there's kind of four main steps in healing your gut, and I just want to sort of touch on them briefly to give you an idea of how it is a process to step through. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've learned as a clinician and with my own health journey is that, A, there is no quick fixes. So in life and in gut healing, there's no shortcuts, there's no quick fixes. You do need to do the work. Because when I look at clients now having to do semi-restricted diets or restricted diets, I get it because I've been there and I have had to do that, and I've had to do that work as well. So I think that's the big one that you start to learn and realizing, like, okay, this is a 6 to 12 month process that we're looking at here. And that's why the Root Cause program, which is my signature program in the way that I help women, that is 6 months, because I need you to commit to 6 months of healing your gut. If you've only got a month for me, I'm sorry, but we can't get through all the things we need to do in a month. We can't get through the testing. We can't get through the removal. We can't get through the repair. We can't get through supporting the immune system. We can't get through teaching you the basics about minerals and nutrients and diet that you need to carry on into the rest of your life. So your health is an investment. 6 months of working with me is something that is going to change your life, and you're going to carry those lessons forward for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It's like I said, there is no quick fixes here. There is no shortcuts. You do need to do the work. And when you do, the results you have and the outcomes you have, you look back just like I am now going, man, that was hard. Like there was times in that was hard and I gave up and that sucked and I didn't want to do that. But I did that, and look at myself now and the things I can do now and the mental clarity I have now, the energy I have when I wake up in the morning, the exercise I can do, the way I can push my body, the way I can travel are things that I never thought were possible for me. So no matter what your health issue is, functional medicine's sort of approach to healing your gut generally helps on a range of different levels. So it can be a chronic or inflammatory illness or condition. It can be periods. It can be constipation, bloating, fatigue, whatever it is. You generally need to go through these four steps to get yourself to where you want to be. So the first step normally is testing and removing the bad. So we need to know what it is with going on in the gut so that we can work, like create a plan to replace it, or remove it. So is it candida? Is it yeast? Is it inflammatory bacteria? Is it, infections in there such as parasites? What is it in the gut that we need to remove first? That's part of the removal process. And then the other part is removing inflammatory foods like your canola oils, your additives, your numbers, your inflammatory sugars. These things, as well as your irritants, sometimes we like to remove alcohol, caffeine, or drugs, like if we're overusing them, because they are going to be impacting the gut as well. So inflammatory foods, gastric irritants, and then also whatever infections are going on, we need to identify. And that's where your three-day stool testing, your SIBO breath testing, your functional blood testing, which you do in the first couple of weeks of working together, is going to give you real clarity on that so that we know what we're dealing with and we know how to treat it. Because you can't just throw herbs at the gut, antimicrobial herbs, and I talk about this all the time, and expect to be able to remove those irritants. We need to know what we're dealing with because different bacteria, parasites, etc., respond to different herbs. We then need to look at replacing the good. So we need to add in essential ingredients for proper digestion and absorption. So these are things that are often depleted by diet, by drugs, so things as such as antacid medications, from diseases, from aging, from leaky gut lining. So things like your digestive enzyme, your hydrochloric acid, I see a lot of low stomach acid in a lot of my clients, bile acids, all these things that are needed to actually break down your food. Because you can remove the SIBO or the yeast or the bacteria or the parasites, but if you don't work on the root cause as to why you have them in the first place, which is low stomach acid or really poor digestion, you're just going to get these infections back because your body's not breaking down the food properly, which is then feeding these overgrowths. So we need to look at things like your B12, your zinc, making sure you can produce enough stomach acid, and then also going, okay, are we providing the foods like bitter herbs that are going to stimulate bile production as well? We also want to look at re-inoculating with beneficial bacteria. So we need to establish a healthy balance of good bacteria. So we have our removal, we have our replace, we have our re-inoculate. Okay, so this can be done through a probiotic. So sometimes we take probiotics such as bifidobacteria, lactobacillus, which are the key species that I tend to see low in people. But I recommend anywhere from 25 to 100 billion units a day. This is part of the re-inoculating. The other part is prebiotic fibers. So you can't just add in probiotics and expect to heal your gut. You need to feed those good gut flora as well. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. So different prebiotics feed different bacteria in the gut. And when you've done a complete stool test, you will be able to see what bacteria you're low and high in, and then you can identify what prebiotics you need to use to feed that bacteria, okay? So things like inulin, GOS, FOS, which are certain fibers to feed good gut flora, are poorly tolerated in someone who has quote-unquote IBS or SIBO-like symptoms. So I like to start with something like PHGG, which is going to feed your good gut flora slowly, and then you can add in these other diverse ranges of fibers. Acacia fiber is another one, pectin's another one. You'll see them in a lot of your prebiotic fiber blends, but we always start with something that's very well tolerated in small amounts and move your way up. And that's the same with probiotics. So always start with a spore-based type probiotic to actually change the pH levels in the gut before we just go and dump a whole heap of probiotics that are going to irritate your gut in there, because probiotics are similar in the sense that if you haven't tested and you don't know what you're high or low in, you can just be throwing away a lot of money in your mouth. And then lastly, repairing your gut. So we need to provide the body with the key nutrients to rebuild that gut lining. So things like L-glutamine are really great, so an amino acid that helps rejuvenate the gut wall lining. But other things such as your zinc, your omega-3 fish oils, your vitamin A, your vitamin C, vitamin E, your herbs such as your slippery elm and aloe vera are all really helpful in repairing that gut lining. So helping soothe inflammation and starting to, and I talk about this all the time, starting to bring those cell walls back together so that we've got nice tight junctions in the gut and nothing can get through to the bloodstream. Foods can be really beneficial here. So zinc, oysters are really, really high in zinc. They're a key way of getting zinc into the diet. You can get it through other foods, but nothing's like anywhere near as high as zinc. Your fish oil, your cod liver oil are really great, but you can have things like sardines or good quality salmon to get some of those fish oils in your diet. Your ghee or your butter, so for getting that vitamin A in, make sure you're having ghee and butter every day because that's super healing. Your adrenal cocktail will help get that vitamin C in there. So I've talked a lot about the adrenal cocktail with your orange juice, your salt, your cream of tartar, your mineral drops, your collagen, your coconut, those things to blend that up and drink that. Your vitamin E, foods like your almonds, your avocado, your fish, your sunflower seeds all contain a little whack of vitamin E in there as well. So supplements are always a part of the way I treat clients because they're just going to give you a higher dose a lot quicker as we reintroduce food. So foods are really important and really great, but foods can be hard to manage in the sense that they have a diverse range of fibers and makeup in them. So sometimes you can't tolerate the foods as quickly as you can tolerate a supplement. Our goal is to get you off the supplements and then only be supplementing with the key things, which is your minerals, magnesium, especially glycinate, just for stress, nervous system, sleep, those kinds of things. Beef liver is always critical in the diet. And then if there's other key nutrients that you seem to deplete quite quickly, you can supplement with them, but generally you kind of just need the basics covered. I love having my clients on collagen as well, like the saturated collagen is awesome. So is their oyster tablets and their beef liver tablets. You can get that worldwide. Use the code SHEZ, S-H-E-Z, and you should get a discount on that one. But that's probably my key sort of baseline stuff, and the rest is more around protocol. So we're on a 6-week or a 4-week or an 8-week plan with what we're doing with your gut. The other things that do need to be addressed is your lifestyle. So how much sleep you're under, how much stress you're under, how much exercise you're doing, those things are going to impact your gut healing as well. Because like I said at the start, with myself, working on my adrenal glands was a key part of my gut healing because I needed to calm that inflammatory response when I'm under that stress, like that go, 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 because that will sort of raise SIG-IGA or deplete SIG-IGA. So it will impact your immune system depending on sort of what way you're prone, if you've got autoimmune conditions or not. And that'll impact the way you react to foods, which is all going to be a part of that gut healing process as well. So calm the adrenal glands, get your 7 to 8 hours sleeping. But if you're sleeping and still waking up tired, there's an adrenal fatigue factor on that needs to be addressed. I've talked about that in other podcast episodes. If you're under constant stress day to day, know that your body was not built to be that way and that needs to be addressed. And then exercise, making sure, yeah, you're getting cardio movement in each day, but you are doing strength training because you have to be lifting some kind of weights to be building some kind of muscle to be increasing your metabolism as well. So I hope that was helpful. That covers the main gut healing aspects that I like to address with women. If you have any questions on any of that, please reach out, let me know. I'm more than happy to answer them. If you want to look into getting some testing done, so adrenal testing, hormone testing, thyroid testing, gut health testing, just reach out or jump on my website, SheridanDecker.com, and have a look at the way I work in the 6-month program. I do have a video breaking that down for you, but I think it's really important to understand that there is no quick fixes with this gut health stuff, with your fatigue. Those things do take time. And I'm really passionate about women leaving my program and feeling equipped to work on their health for the rest of their life. This is not like you leave my program and then it's like, shit, now I've got nothing. It's like we're leaving it going, cool, I know that I should be doing these key things to support my gut health and my hormones. That's my goal for you. But I know you're busy, I'm busy, and running a small business is taxing on the body. But like I always say, you can't grow with your lifestyle without working on your health. Your health is an investment. So invest in that first and you will see it tenfold in other areas of your life. Enjoy the rest of your day. Please reach out if you have any questions. Please rate or review the Empowered Hormones podcast. It helps me grow and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag, or share, and let's get women talking.